just you. There you go. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What's going on, Sammy?
What, huh? What's going on? What's going on the morning brew this morning?
Bro, we got some stuff, man. We got some Disney Dynamite Boom Studios news. We're talking about pets. I mean, we got some stuff going on this morning, bro. We got to get to it.
We got to get to it. Good morning, all.
Wow. Wow. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew. Here we are again. It's another episode. What's this, episode four, Sam?
This is episode five.
Episode five. Damn, we already, okay, we're five in the can. What's wrong with you, bro? You all right? You good?
I'm a chic.
Oh, man. Good morning, everyone. Where's your cup of coffee? You guys got one?
Where's your coffee, bro? Where's your coffee?
Yes. Do this. Oh, man. Yes. Good morning. So we have another good episode planned for you tonight. I don't want to use the word exciting because I use exciting for everything. I feel like exciting is the word that I use for everything. But we definitely have a very, very
we fun have a luscious, you guys. Luscious.
Luscious. Wow. Luscious. What a word at 9 in the morning, yes. Or 8 in the morning, depending where you are. 6 in the morning if you're in Cali. But yeah, if you're watching us, please subscribe to the channel. Make sure you like, comment. We're going to be, you know, this is very interactive. Yo, what up, Johnny? This is very interactive. We're going to let some people into the chat. If you have a point or something you want to say, keep it clean.
All you have to do is raise your hand and we'll let you in.
We'll let you in. Keep it clean. You know what I mean? Keep it concise. Let's not go too crazy. But yeah, no. So we're doing that today. We're going to be talking about, you know, a couple of things that we have. Sam, we saw something on Facebook, I think it was yesterday. I think Michael Garcia might have posted it about some Disney
the sketchbook series. Yes. Disney presents a constructive drawing series called The Sketchbook, which is slated to launch April 27th. And I am so stoked about this. Yeah. There are six artists in the series. It's a six episode series. And of the six, four out of six I'm aware of. I've followed them on social media, seen their work and some of the previous interviews. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah, dude, that's cool. I haven't actually watched the preview for it, but I saw that Michael had posted that yesterday. And that's cool. Like if you're an artist, I mean, that's right up your alley, right? If you want to do that kind of stuff. But it's also, I think, just cool to see that kind of stuff. What are they going to be featuring on the show?
Let's see. Let me pull that up. Just had it. So it's called the Sketchbook Series, and Disney invites viewers to a 101 kind of drawing experience in the all-new six-part original series sketchbook. Former club chef's table, whatever, I don't want to read that stuff, and partner studios, talented artists teach them how to draw beloved Disney characters, including Cusco from The Emperor's New Groove, Olaf from Frozen, Genie from Aladdin, Captain Hook from Peter Pan, and Mirabelle. So basically, going to show you how they draw them and how they 2D animate. So they draw each frame by frame.
Wow.
Let's see. We got another. Good morning from Kelly.
Oh my God, you're up early, Whitney. Thank you for joining us. Jesus, 6 in the morning out there. I love it.
Thank you, Johnny boy. Thank you. Thank you. First comment on a new background.
Very morning-ish. Yeah, you know, Johnny pays attention to those details.
He's beeping, bro. He's out. He's in the window. He's like this. What are you guys doing there? Are you guys eating dinner right now? What's up? So an intimate instructional documentary series. Hold on. Where's my damn mouse? Oh, here it is. Sketchbook takes audience onto the desks and into the lives of talented artists and animators as they explain how to draw a single iconic character from a Disney film. Each episode focuses on a single artist illustrating a character that either they helped create or inspired them to want to be an artist at the studio. Along with the steps to drawing these characters, the artists each share a unique story about how they made their way to Disney and their chosen character. I mean, just look at that one frame right there.
Yeah,
that's cool. One of the things when I was a kid that I always wanted to do and I never did, and I could kick myself. And we had an opportunity to do it, and my mom was going to take us, and I didn't. I don't know if it's I forgot where in Disney did you go to, but you can go to the Disney Studios and see the artists, and they should tell you demonstrations of how they draw and all that stuff. That's part of the tour.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do it, but because of where we grew up, we were burglarized before. So I never wanted to leave the house because I wanted to protect the house. So I chose not to go. So my mom didn't take any of us because she's like, if we go as a family. But I just adamant that I had to protect the house. And I regret those moments because I only had my mom for 18 years of my life. And I regret not being able to capture that experience, both with my mom and with Disney. And I've always wanted to. So I've always been inspired by watching people draw, and especially the artists behind Disney. So this series I'm excited for. I'm going to be glued to the set watching that. And if there's a DVD collection, I'm going to get that as well. I'm like, I just want it.
Yeah, you should take a trip down to Disney, bro. Disney World in Florida. You should take a little vacation, go out there and do it. Big shout out to Michael Gracia. He's got a show called Getting Tunes, for those who don't know. And he was actually in Florida recently. He did something out there.
Yeah.
He had a great time. He actually saw Encanto before it came out because they had like a little.
Did you just say El Canto like a gringo?
Encanto. Remember saying Encanto? Encanto. I was afraid you weren't going to understand me.
Oh, see, I thought you were talking about El Canto with what's his name? Mark Anthony.
No, that's El Cantante, bro. Come on.
Oh, there you go.
Come on.
Sammy. El Caliente.
Don't come at me with that Spanish stuff in the morning.
El Dente.
El Dente, yeah. Now, this is cool, though. You should definitely take a trip down.
Have you ever toured to Disney Studios?
No, I've been to Disney. I've never toured to Disney Studios.
Okay.
No. I don't know why. I've only been to Disney once.
See, I'm not interested in the rides. I'm interested in really just capturing the design aspect on how they design the studio. Like, I'm more interested in touring the studio, seeing how they do the behind the scenes stuff, but also I love to see how they built some of the themes and the rides. I don't want to get on it. I'd rather just like experience it and take it all in, and maybe you would take my sketchbook and just, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why at this age is probably the best time to go, because if you went when you were younger, you'd want to, I mean, I think just as a young kid, you just become a kid in Disney and you just want to get on the rides.
Right.
But, you know, the older you get, you know, you're looking at it from a different, you know, set of eyes. You're like, oh, I want to see the behind the scenes stuff, which is perfect. And you probably should do that like now, like, you know, get out there and get it done. I mean, this is cool, though, because this is really like a good insight into
fantastic.
Know, what they do and the magic of Disney. You know,
I just love that draft table. I mean, look at that draft table, the vintage draft. You know how much those draft tables cost?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of grand. Mm-hmm. Those vintage, really strong, the manufacturing, the way they make those, they're not those flimsy ones that you buy today. Those are like fantastic.
Yeah. No, that's cool. When is it airing?
April 27th.
All right.
Yes, it's streaming April 27th, and I am going to be the first one watching. April 20th. I'm already online. I got my tickets.
I got my tickets. Disney Plus. Yeah, so if you subscribe to Disney Plus, this is a nice. And you know what's also coming to Disney Plus is all of the stuff that was on Netflix, like the Daredevils and all that other stuff for those people that like that kind of stuff too.
Yeah,
Disney Plus is merely making a push to, you know, just expand their library of stuff that you can watch. There's so many things on that
what I appreciate about Disney Plus is that they've been adding the behind the scenes collected
stuff.
They
do a lot of that.
Yeah. Because they understood that's one of the missing components for streaming platforms. They failed to understand the impact and popularity of the bonus features on the DVDs. When I got Lord of the Rings, I wanted it because I wanted to be the bonus stuff. I saw it in the movies. I wanted to own the movie, but I really wanted that extra 6 hours of how they built the sets, how they designed everything, the illustrators. That's the stuff that I'm interested in. And so Disney realized somewhere along the line, they're like, you know what? This is one of the things we've been known for, and we dropped the ball. We need to start adding this content. And that's why the streaming content, the platform's getting more and more popular.
Yeah. What I like about those DVD features that you're talking about was, as a writer, was just seeing the writers sit down at the table and come up with some of that stuff, some of the pitches, and how they would pitch some of these movies, and what, the storyboards that they would line up and how they would go about going through that stuff. To me, that's the interesting stuff. And they did that. A lot of that stuff they did, like you said, in Disney Plus for The Mandalorian. They had like this whole series about how they came up with a lot of the stuff that they were doing for that show. So yeah, no, that's cool, man. I can't wait. April
27th.
27th. Oh, you got that shit memorized. You got that bad boy memorized.
What's the matter with you, huh?
What's the matter with you? Yo, it's early, bro. It's early.
Yeah, I know it's early. It's earlier for me than it is for you.
Oh yeah, no, I know. And I've been up. I've been up for a while too. Been up prepping. Actually, I was up. I was reading this. Big shout out to one of our guests that we had on our show. This was episode 218, if you guys don't know, 218. Confidence Tat Zverloff is his name. And this is his book. It's called Confidence, one of our indie friends. He had a Kickstarter. Now, listen, this is not that this thing just came out. Like, I didn't just get it in the mail. I've had it in the mail. But, I've been doing so many things. I didn't get a chance to read it yet. I got a chance to read it this morning. Very, very insightful book, bro. It was deep. I was like, holy cow. Got some deep stuff going on over here. I'm plugging in my computer because this thing's about to die. But yo, Sam, so let me ask you a question. Do you like omnibuses?
The only omnibus that I have is Jesus Christ. Yosagi Yojimbo.
Really? How thick is that thing? I think it's like
Forget about it.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get some like omnibus. Like, I want to get like the Invincible omnibus, just because I enjoyed that story a lot. But I was just surfing through the web, and the company Dynamite is putting out the third omnibus for The Boys, which I didn't realize it was that big. But this is gonna compile. So for those fans of The Boys, the show, the comic book, by Garth Ennis. I had a lift when I said it. Garth Ennis, Derek Robertson, and Russ Braun. They are putting together this omnibus. They're going to release it in July, and it's going to come just in time with the third season of the book. So this is the third omnibus. It's got issues 49 to 72. And you're talking about the behind-the-scenes stuff. This stuff's going to have like sketchbook excerpts from like the artist. It's going to have a series outline, like the outline for the series. It's going to have curated scripts for the comic that's going to be included in there. So it's going to have a lot of behind the scenes stuff. And it's also going to have like the mini series that they did for three of their characters. They used to do these in between, like these little mini series. They're going to add that. They're going to throw that in there. So it's going to be good, man. Get Blade Omnibus so I can buy.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. So that's gonna be cool. So for those fans of The Boys, what I didn't realize, and I'm sure you guys probably know this better than I did, you guys, everybody watching, The Boys was originally published through DC Comics, and I didn't know that before it went to Dynamite. And
so yes, I read that somewhere.
You did, yeah. So I was reading that article. I mean, obviously. I don't know if this is true, but they said that it was being published through DC Comics until Paul Levitz, who was president at the time, actually read the book and said, we're going to have to cancel this because it was just too gritty, too dark, too out there for what they were publishing at the time. I think because it's in line with, with what they did with the Watchmen. You know what I mean? It was like a little different. It was a little grittier.
That's the problem with some of these execs.
Yeah.
They can't see past the horizon. Everyone stay, you know, and that's the problem that with just comics in as a whole, because like for instance, like you know, there's a population that wants to get published through Image Comics, so they design their comic books to fit that scheme, that landscape, right? You know, DC has a template and they don't want to deviate from the template. Marvel, you know, and you would think that they would learn over the years. This is the reason why they had that Image uprising. This is the reason why Todd left and everybody left, because they had a specific way of designing that didn't fit the narrative. So they left and they created their own empire. Here's the guy that he's probably kicking himself because now, you know, the boys popped off. You know, and they're like, and I guarantee you, the guy goes to the, he's got to sit with the president, and they're doing his annual review. You just lost us X amount of millions of dollars, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I think what happens is, you know, they're so narrow focused that they can't see potential or they're not willing to risk things. They don't, the risk taking initiative is gone.
You know, it is true. And this is, I mean, I think that their safety, they're playing it safe, them playing it safe, the big two playing it safe, right? For all those years, I think led to, like you said, the uprising of Image, but it's also given us as indies a platform or a voice for us to be able to say, you know what, man, we're gonna do the stuff that DC or Marvel doesn't do. And so things like The Boys come out and things like, you know, what we're doing come out. But I'm gonna play devil's advocate, right? If you're an executive. Okay, catch the craze, right? Somebody comes in and wants to be different and wants to say outlandish stuff, right? Right? That, or wants to talk about whatever it is, whether it's politics, something like that. That's not necessarily what we do. So this isn't the channel for you to do that in. So we exclude that. I think that DC looked at it the same way. The Boys is I mean, if you've seen the show, because I've never read the comic, but if you
see it's crazy.
The show, it is crazy. It isn't something that you would normally see in DC.
Now,
DC
this is where you get creative. I'm gonna give you an example. This is where you get creative.
No, but hold on. Okay. So what happens is they say, okay, that's not for us. It's gonna have to go somewhere else. And I think that's what they did. Now you could lose money, which is what they did essentially, because now The Boys is being published somewhere else, and obviously it did well and has got a show now. But for DC, it was like, yo, this is just the line we walk. We just can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? So, but go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
No, this is where I think, again, it goes back to the risk taking. Because if I'm sitting on the board, if I'm presenting, I'm looking at this as an IP, and I can see the potential, but I'm like, all right, but this is how we branded ourselves. Let's create a division for this. Let's create a new imprint and say, give it a MA or whatever it is, give it a rating or whatever, and let's promote it that way. That in itself is intriguing for the consumer. Wait, they just added a new adult, you know, whatever rating, Bob. What is it about this book that they had to do this? Now that's marketing 101, right? I'll give you an example. When I was in retail, I remember a time where I inherited a business, a large business that was down $1 million, right? And so I'm analyzing it. You know, the customer service scores were horrible. And one of the biggest components was nobody was answering the phones, right? It was a commission-based business, right? I had a team, a sales force of over 100 associates, but a total population of 300 between operations and associates. So I present to the leadership team, hey, this is my idea. I think we need a phone room. And this is how I can manage it. And this is how we can make up that difference and increase our customer service score. Cause the biggest thing is nobody's answering the phones. Got shot down. We've done it before. We moved on. It failed, blah, blah, blah. But why did it fail? Nobody wanted to talk. So I said, hell with everybody. I went and got the IT team, the security team, the operations team. And I said, here, I need phone lines in this room. I need this in this room. I need all this. And I said, hire 3 hourly associates. We're going to train them. But I did the whole bit and I kept it under the radar. We were doing an additional $10,000 a week in sales just from that room. Nobody knew it. There was no advertising, nothing. It was just incognito. And then one day they found out during a walkthrough and they didn't even look at me. You know, they had a private meeting. they ran the numbers, and when they seen how my customer service scores went up and I made up the deficit, they decided to do it across all divisions, never giving me credit for it. I didn't really didn't care. I was just trying to grow the business and make up that gap because I just inherited a business that was down $1 million. But it takes courage to say, how can we still capitalize? I know you failed on this, but how can we still make it work? You know, I wasn't part of that failure, but I have a strategy. Give me a shot. The same thing. I think in anybody who's in the boardroom and they're looking at IPs, they got to look at it. It's like, all right, this might not work here, but we still see the value in this and the potential growth. If we did this, we can potentially have gains here. Someone has to be able to shift gears and say in that room and challenge the status quo and say, look, I'm going to put my name in. I'm putting my reputation on the line. I know we can do this. Let's create this. Let's rebrand it. Let's get the marketing team. Let's get the PR team. How can we do this and spin it so that we make it, alluring, right? Attractive. TVMA is attractive to people. People love that content.
But the book was attractive without. I think that TVMA was just
no, but even with the book. I mean, yeah, no, you just put it
from saying yeah. from those people who say, "What are they doing, dude? This isn't my DC. I don't like this kind of nonsense." So yeah, so
but TVMA that's that fork in the road. Good. That fork in the road where you run into the unrecognizable, right?
Yeah,
you run into that moment like, ooh, I don't know. That's where you are challenged to be creative and then really do an analysis. I think not everything's going to work out, right? But you got to look at long term and you got to look at the trend and what's happening in the world and all that stuff or whatever. I mean, look at what was that? What's his name? The spinoff of Suicide Squad that was just on HBO.
The spinoff of Suicide Squad that was just, oh yeah, Peacemaker.
Peacemaker. Look how outlandish that was. How crazy that was. People are eating that stuff up, right? So I guess, you know, they learned from what happened with The Boys. They said, oh, we could push the limits and go far. So I think sometimes you a hard lesson is going to see you, you know what, let's not get overly sensitive about this. People are people. They're going to accept it as long as it's quality.
Yeah. No, you know what? And Marvel obviously did that with Marvel Knights. Remember they had the Marvel Knights imprint where things were like a little darker and that, not as much as they probably what The Boys is, but they did right. Try to do that. I think what DC and Marvel now, they're kicking themselves because they never evolved, right? Like, because we talk about this all the time. Kids aren't the same like they were when we, like kids... Us as kids are not the same as kids today, in other words, right?
So like we wanted to be kids.
Exactly. Kids are growing up faster now. Even the humor that they laugh at before it was, you know, I want to say it was we were more innocent, even though, you know, we also, you know, did some dirt when we were little kids. But in comparison to what we see today, because I think kids are exposed to different things now. The internet has opened up their eyes to all kinds of crazy stuff. We're like, so their minds are a little different. So I think that what DC and Marvel failed to do back then, they're trying to play catch up now by changing their characters and adding certain things to their characters to make them more relatable today when they should have just accepted some of the stuff that was being pushed on them back then and said, okay, like you said, let's find a way to get this out there through our imprint so that we don't lose the business to somebody else. Because the best thing that they could have possibly have done for The Boys, I think, at the time, and maybe it didn't seem that way at the time, was to cancel them. Because after that, after they canceled them, about 17 other publishers were like dying to pick up that book.
Because they see,
bring it here. Yeah. They were like, bring it here. And then Dynamite picked it up and they published it for 72 issues. So the whole run is from issue 1 through 72. And now you're able to get it.
And this is why DC has struggled with telling the same stories over and over again.
Yeah,
they were struggling with pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries of growth potential. You know, playing it safe, you become blockbuster. That's what happens when you play it safe. So what happens is now here comes the masters, right? The masters of their craft that come in, Disney comes in and scoops up Marvel and took Marvel to a plateau that they never even dreamed. They weren't even capable of because they were separated so many different companies and everybody and all these politics, you know, with these different studios were doing things their way instead of paying respects to the actual work and telling the story based on the work. they were trying to put their own spin on it, and whatever it was, Disney comes in and says, "Yo, we're gonna take this and we're gonna take it to the next." We see the potential.
Yeah, but see now, there are those people who are anti-Disney and what Disney has done to the Marvel brand, because I think people believe that Disney has watered them down a lot, because Disney is known for family-friendly entertainment. That's what they do. So you're not gonna get like the Punisher, like maybe the way you want the Punisher, because Disney's gonna say, listen, we're not gonna show this, we're not gonna do that, we're not gonna get violent with this thing too much. We're not gonna go too crazy.
I don't see that.
No, Disney's not about that gory stuff. If you look at the Disney, I mean, look, I'll tell you, Disney, this is how far Disney has gone. And I don't know. I mean, I'm a big, huge everybody. I mean, people who watch, they know. I mean, obviously, Wonder Duck, right? I was a big fan of the Disney Afternoon. I've always said this, and DuckTales was my joint. If you watch DuckTales, there's a disclaimer at the beginning telling people that some of the language or some of the things seen in this cartoon, whatever, but like apologizing for some of the things that are in the cartoon. Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So Disney's very, very conscious about protecting their image as a family-friendly place where you can come watch, a safe place where you can come watch shows. So they're very conscious about that.
Concur this.
and I think that that's something that people frowned upon when it comes to Disney stuff. Like some of the guys, like I think I saw something where like I think it was Darth Maul was taken out of the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. He's not going to be in it. And people are like, "What? Why is Disney getting involved in some of that stuff?" Now listen, I'm a Disney fan. I like Disney the brand itself as well, because I think they tell good stories. I think they're very good at telling good stories. Yeah, I really believe that. They have some of the best creative minds working to give you some incredible stories. Like, look at Encanto. Encanto. You see how I said that? Encanto. Very good. Very well story. Very, very good storytelling. Like, I think that's something that I talked to Jonathan, who's online. I talked to him all the time about how good they are at storytelling. That's their joint. Like, if you want a heartfelt story, they're going to tell it. Pixar, when they got together with Pixar, look what they did, you know, how far they advanced with. They used Pixar's technology and their vision and their talent, and then boom, their storytelling just went through the roof. But damn, we're going far into this.
There's a place for everything. You know, I think The Mandalorian was beautiful.
I love it.
I think you don't need gore and everything. I mean, it all depends. I think
I'm not a big
fan. I think Star Wars, you know, when, you know, I don't see, I think the Book of Boba Fett was probably watered down a little bit. It was a little soft, but they still had the violence. I think it goes based on what it is. I just think stay true to the essence of the brand. Right. You know what I'm saying? I loved, you know, Wolverine, you know, that last Wolverine movie was legit. I don't see how, you know, I mean, that wasn't Disney though.
No, that was Fox. I think it was Fox.
Yeah. That was beautiful. You know, so I just believe that the acquisitions team and the person who's responsible for the content distribution and all that stuff and the development, that person, he needs to be the person who has a team that can understand a prop and IP, do a risk analysis and say, you know, what's the risk reward, a SWOT analysis, what's the risk reward benefit? And then if we did this, can we, that's where you need to get with your teams and say, all right, here's something that we think has legs. What will happen? How can we position this so that way financially we're in the black? That's when you get the teams to go and look at it, debate it, do their pitch, whatever. Don't just solely put the decision on you. Make sure you have the smartest and best people from each division that's going to come together, look at it, dissect it, analyze it, come to you with a couple of examples of which avenues you can go, and then make it a democratic approach where you do a vote and say, all right, look, boom, 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 and then move forward with it.
You know? Well, yeah, no, I mean, listen, we're having a love finding thing. It's really brilliant. Tell you to watch, and and you know what? It's a kids' movie, but it's a lesson for parents. Finding Nemo. Sometimes you got to let your kids go. You know what I mean? That's the only way they're gonna grow. And like, that's a message that you're like that you're like as a parent. Like, if you're a parent, I'm not a parent, but I remember watching that with my nephews and watching that with my sister, and she was like, "Damn, this story's like It's incredible because as a parent, you feel that, you know, this here's this dad who's afraid because, you know, obviously something terrible happened to their mom. And so he doesn't want to lose his son. So he shelters him. And it's not until Nemo has to find his own way, go through his own adventure, that he realizes, damn, I should have just let him do what he does. And that's brilliant storytelling because that's human nature. That's a human nature story. Yes. That's a human story, right? Yes. It's not, it goes beyond being a cartoon. It's being done animated. It's being done through this fish. But like, you're like, holy cow, I get it. And that's the brilliance of that kind of storytelling. So yeah, that's a good example, Johnny. I don't know if you've opened up the call lines. Have you put up the
No, nothing yet. I haven't seen the population, the call lines. But if anybody has anything to contribute on this topic, let us know. We'll drop the link and you can jump right in for a couple minutes and share your point of view.
Drop the link in there. Keep it in the back room.
Invite. Copy link.
But yeah, no, that's interesting. And just so just transferring over to our next topic for today. That was interesting, man. If you guys have any you know opinions about what we're talking about, by all means, you know, hit us up in the chat, or Sammy's gonna put the link in the chat so that you guys can come in.
Before we segue to that, we just want to remind everybody that the Wonder Duck is the landing page is live. Wonder Duck launches on May 4th. So if you haven't signed up for the Adventures of Wonder Duck, please do so. We'd like to start that campaign at 100 people or more. We're at 67 the last time we checked. So let me get that link and drop it in the chat.
And you got a couple of teasers also today. So, you know, for future stuff that we're going on. But yeah, for those who do you know, subscribe to the page or follow the page for the notify me, hit the notify me button. Let me know, because then I will be, you know, sending you some free stuff. So make sure you hit that button so I can send you a PDF that is not going to be available for during the Kickstarter campaign. It's just exclusive for those people who sign up. Some of you have already received it. Thank you very much for, you know, sending me your information, and thank you for following the page. But make sure you follow it, and then let me know you follow it. You can go to the Adventures of Wonder Duck right there on the screen and let me know, hey George, I'm following your page, what's up, man? And I will send you some stuff. So yeah, hit me up. And Sammy, you got a little tease.
Yes, for all of you Duty fans, I have a little teaser for you. I'm going to show you a draft of the card, of the new generation card, the second generation gameplay card. And this is for the gaming, the trading card game that's going to launch next year. And so this is a draft of the template, and you're getting it first sight. This is the only place you're going to see it is on the Morning Brew.
Exclusive.
I got to have a cup of coffee pour into a cup as my transition for this, like in the news. But here it is. Bang. So this is the template for the new design for the gameplay cards. And as you can see, there are two sources of power. There's the fuel level, and there's the power level. And then there's the bonus question and the gameplay. And that's Baba. He is a gypsy pirate. He comes in future episodes of the series of Duty. So that's what you're going to see. Where it says logo, it's going to be branded based on the theme of the cards. So like, there's going to be a monster series of all the monsters that Duty has fought. There's going to be a hero series. There's going to be a power source series of cards, energy source, a whole lot of stuff that I'm doing. It's a major undertaking. So that's why it's going to take by the time that last issue is launched on Kickstarter number 10, the 11th campaign will be for the gameplay board, the rule book and everything. So that one's going to be big. So I'm excited about this. So this card will be available in June on the next campaign for issue number 2. That's where you're going to get to see this next generation gameplay cards. It's going to be dope.
It's funny, man, because it's like that's part of like what we're talking about. Like, you being able to do that, that's something that you can do because you're an independent artist. You don't have to worry about, hey man, DC didn't give me the budget or Marvel didn't give me the budget to do this game or whatever. We just play, you know what I mean? You sit down, you're in the drafting table, you're drawing your character, and hey, if you want to do a game next year, you're doing a game next year. That's just what happens. That's just, you don't have to worry about any red tape, no bureaucracy, none of that junk. It's just, let's just play, let's just do, which is the beauty of being an independent creator, an independent artist. So there are pros and cons, you know what I mean? The con, obviously, sometimes is that the reach is so small, right? We don't have that expansion, that reach that that the bigger companies do, which is why sometimes you look for publishers like, you know, like the Dynamites and the Boom Studios, you know what I mean? Which the Boom Studios. So a couple of shows ago, we were talking about open domain characters, one of which was Alice in Wonderland. Remember that? Boom Studios announced on Monday, or it's on their website, but I saw this article from Monday, a new comic book series called Alice Ever After. And it's going to release April 6th. And it's going to feature a J. Scott Campbell cover. So for those J. Scott Campbell fans, it's going to feature a cover. And they already have the latest numbers of the order numbers are at 21,800 so far. And they're thinking that they may even go further, further up. You're going to see the, I think the cover is on here towards the bottom. So basically, and it's so the story is written by Dan Panosian. He did Canary with J. Scott Campbell. Georgia Spoleta is the artist, colored by Fabian Marcello. And I got to give a shout out to the letterer. The letterer is Jeff Eckelberry.
You know him?
No, but he's a, but he's a letterer. So I got to get look at these guys. Look at these guys down there, bro. Look
are they like movie stars,
bro? Like Giorgio is the artist. He looks like he tells people I draw you naked. Like, look at him.
Yeah. He'll say he steals your wife.
He's a man. This guy looks like
your wife is going to come over and I'm just going to do a little painting here and there. It's okay.
Listen, we don't know Giorgio. Big shout out to you. I'm a man. All we're saying is you're a good looking dude, bro. That thing looks crazy.
Giorgio, stop looking at me like that.
Hey, Giorgio.
Why are you looking at me like that?
So Alice Ever After is basically a darkly surreal take of an adult Alice as she struggles with a choice between facing her trauma in the real world or escaping to Wonderland for good. So it's a take on the story by, you know, obviously the novel written back in 1865 by Lewis Carroll, what that is now open domain. So you can do, you know, basically tell stories about Alice. And if you guys know the story, obviously a 7-year-old girl, you know, named Alice who, you know, goes, chases a rabbit down a rabbit hole, which is where
I'll get you rascally rabbits.
The rabbit hole. But let me, Sam, let me share my screen so I can show you the image that J. Scott Campbell has of that cover. I don't know if it's on that thing, but here I'll show you on mine. Share screen. Oh, man. Let's see. Jesus Christ. Boom. Bam. Let me show you the bam. Boom. All right. Let me see. Is it up on the screen yet? That's the cover for the
book. I wonder, did he hand design that wallpaper template? Did he make that
right? Paper? Look at this thing.
That is just crazy.
Bro, that is insane. I have
to draw that over and over again.
That is insane. And then that is the color version of it.
Yeah, nice. I see a lot of dots.
How beautiful is that?
Well, beautiful what? I don't see anything.
What do you mean?
I don't see anything on my screen.
What happened?
I don't know. Let me see. Put it. I'll pull it up. Let's see.
Here, hold on. I got it again.
Got it?
I got it. I think I got it. Share. Bam. Give it to me.
There it is. That's very nice.
Very nice. J. Scott Campbell is a joint, bro. His artwork is incredible, dude.
Yeah. What was he known for?
He did Canary. I mean, he's done tons of stuff. Like specifically?
Yeah, like in the back in the days. I wonder what he was known for.
Oh yeah, yeah. I can't remember the name of the book that he was known for where he got his start. But yeah, Marvel did a lot of stuff with him back in the days. But yeah, that's another. So for those Alice in Wonderland fans, Boom Studios coming out with a brand new book called Alice Ever After. It's going to be a 5-issue run. It's an interesting take on Alice. You know, she's battling addiction, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of it's a deep story.
Yeah, he drew Wildcats for Wildstorm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Gen 13, that's what it was.
Gen 13. Yeah. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, man. So that's coming out.
I mean, Wildstorm at that time, they had Joe Madura. They had, remember Umberto Ramos?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And J. Scott Campbell. Oh, my God. Those guys were killing it.
That's true.
Those guys were killing it.
Yeah. Damn. But, yeah, so that's what's coming out from Dynamite and Boom Studios. And then just freaking sick, right? Danger Girl, I believe. I think he might have done that, too. Right? Did he?
Danger Girl? Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so that's coming out from Boom. Boom Studios has been killing it with their books, man. Something's Killing the Children. They have all these outside the box books. Berserker was through Boom.
Yeah,
so they've been doing really well the last few years.
Yeah. So before we segue into our conversation about pets, we're gonna give a bump to our show sponsor.
Yes.
And that is Daphne Lage, and here it is.
Iga Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn, Issue 4, is now on Kickstarter. Iga Raven, a half-unicorn, half-human princess, finds herself the unwitting pawn of a headstrong noblewoman trying to avoid an arranged marriage. But she finds a silver lining as she competes to become a knight, but her travels reveal many hardships and a growing obsession. Please check out all of the different levels, and this is also your last chance to collect my popular variant covers. So head on over to Kickstarter to make your pledge today.
Yes. So, yes, head over to Kickstarter, Ego Raven, right now. She's killing it. She's on fire. She's got campaign we love. She's about to break a new record with this campaign. So get your copy of Ego Raven today.
Ego Raven. Definitely.
Yeah, so next topic is... pets and dogs, dogs and pets and comics. And the reason why that was because I saw this. Batman's getting, dog is getting a new look in 2022. Batman Urban Legend number 11 will feature Batman's canine companion Ace the Bat Hound in a new story with a new uniform fit for a working dog like him. So for me, that begged the question, when you look back at history, pets have always been there. Mm-hmm. Pets have always been there. I mean, if we just look at,
I didn't even know Batman had a dog, bro. Like that's terrible.
Remember, yeah, the end of, you remember from the cartoon?
Ah, dude, I didn't realize. I mean, I've seen the image. Yeah, I've seen the image on the right, but I didn't really even like think about that. So connect the two dots. But yeah, no, you were going into the history.
Yeah, so like there's on Gizmodo, the 10 greatest superhero dogs, right? You had Dino Mutt. Remember Dino Mutt?
Mm-hmm.
For Hanna-Barbera is the Blue Falcon?
Yeah.
The dogs were always there. You know what I mean? I mean, you had Hong Kong Fooey, number one super guy. Remember that? Again, Hanna-Barbera, 1974 to 75. He only lasted 1 year. What the hell? No love for the Hong Kong Phooey? What the hell?
Hong Kong Phooey. Wow.
The underdog. Everybody remembers
Underdog, yes. Right?
And they actually created a live action in 2007 for Underdog.
Mm-hmm.
You had this I'm not too sure of. Amaterasu?
No, I never heard of this one. IGN's name, Game of the Year. In 2006.
Yeah, I don't know. Lockjaw, I remember.
Lockjaw.
Lockjaw looks like a bulldog. Teleport. I'm going to pull it up for Mr. Fantastic. Canine from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Ace the Bat Hound.
Right, this is...
Right. Crypto. Remember Crypto?
Crypto, yes. I do remember Crypto.
Hyperdog. Don't remember Hyperdog. And then Rex, the Wonder Dog. So those are just 10 dogs.
Are superhero dogs.
Those are superhero dogs. But in comics, I mean, you had from Cats, you had Garfield in comics. You had Snoopy, a dog in comic strips. You know, that started out in comic strips. There's so many different dogs. And then for me is like, why do we feel compelled to add our furry little friends in stories? I thought that was a good question to ask.
Mm-hmm. I think people like animals, man. I think animal lovers. There are a lot of animal lovers out there, and I think that they love them.
Ronnie Aurelis. Cujo.
At least, yes, Cujo. Well, yeah, you know what? That's funny because like that's a good point. Like you have these like friendly animals, and then you have Cujo, and you have like these dogs that are a killer. It was a killer dog. But I think there's something about just dogs. I think that some of the, I don't know if you ever seen that movie Marley and Me. But
yes, I think everybody was afraid of Cujo. Oh, yeah. I think it was Cujo was the same time around when Damien the Omen came out. Yeah. That was around that time. Yeah, it was
Well, you remember Pet Sematary?
Yes, I know.
Was another one of those movies that was scary. I know. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, I think that what was I saying? I lose my train of thought all the time.
Talking about Pet Sematary comics.
No, yeah, but carry on. Go
carry
on.
I'm
lost. I've lost it.
How much days you want to live?
I'm going to have to watch the rewind. Watch.
You're going
to
go. No, I think, I think man's best friend, right? So what happens? What can be said that is true, that is a constant? I'm trying to phrase it, right? You talk about Marty and Me.
Marley, yes, Marley and Me. I'm sorry. All right, you're paying attention. I freaking love you. All right, so yeah, Marley and Me. So look at that story, like Marley and Me. I think that pets just hit you different. Like they just, they know how to tug at your heartstrings. Like pets, babies, things like that. I think when you start writing stories about these kind of creatures, because dogs are so loyal and all this other stuff. I think the stories you're writing now are more, they hit you different, yes. Rather than if you see a pet or a dog or an animal die in a movie, dude, like, do you remember that scene in I Am Legend where Will Smith has to put down his dog himself because it's become a beast? That was crazy to watch. And the way he plays that out, because he's holding this dog.
How many times did you close your eyes in that movie?
I didn't. I'm
no, yo, dude. When the dog ran into the building and he had to go and find him,
I didn't close my eyes. I didn't
close my eyes. Don't do it. I could win, but I'd be pissed. Now the dog is risking both of us. But because that's my boy, I go
in. You got to go in, dog. You got to go in. And that's when it happened. But those scenes, and when I was saying about Marley and Me, I was laughing along. I thought this movie was a comedy until, and no spoilers here, but just watch the movie. You'll know what I'm talking about when you watch this movie. Because it is one of the saddest old yellow Lassie. Yeah. Good points. Yeah, good stuff. But go ahead, Sam. What were you going to say about animals?
I think the reason why... let's stick with hero dogs.
Yes.
Everybody knows that a dog is loyal to a fault. Right. So you're going to war. There's a chance that the guy beside you will probably betray you for the right amount of money or whatever it is. They have his family hostage, but the dog's not. Right. So that's why the dogs make a great hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that they're going to be there through thick and thin. No matter what. And you don't have to worry about the betrayal, And I think that's why they make such great heroes versus a cat. If you look at the cat stories, I don't know many cats that are maybe Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse, but there's not many cat heroes. There are a lot of dog heroes. And the cat's the loyal friend, but the cuddly, warm.
They're mischievous. They're more mischievous, though. If you think about Heathcliff.
Yeah, yep, they're playful. Starfield. They get into all sorts of mischief.
Lazy cat. Yes,
lazy. They're eating pizza. But I think the dogs, there's a sentimental aspect. There's a loyalty aspect. You know what? I don't have to worry about. There's a thing that me and my friend Leo used to say when we grew up in the neighborhoods. Like if we get into a situation back to back, this way I know that my back's protected and your back's protected. And no matter what happens, we got each other. That's the same thing with a dog. I think that's where the difference lies, and I think that's why they stand the test of time, and the stories tell itself because the dogs have personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of being a hero, they're loving, nurturing, protective, playful. Yeah.
It's funny because even in the Garfield cartoon, Odie is you know, he's like you said, it's almost like he's loyal to a fault because he doesn't see the evil that Garfield does to him. He's just like, hey, it's Odie. Like, he's just a happy-go-lucky dog. You know, another movie that was gut-wrenching was, you ever heard of a movie called Hachi with Richard Gere?
No.
It's about this dog who, again, loyal to a fault. He would meet his master, you know, his owner, every day at the train station and would wait for him at the train station when he came home from work. One day the his owner dies, but the dog still goes to the station waiting for an owner that's never going to show up. It's gut-wrenching, bro. And that's what a dog is. What did he say? What did John say?
I love Garfield because he was like, yo, I ain't doing jack.
Nice. Very nice. But yeah, no, I think there's something about throwing a pet in there. And listen, cats are having a moment, man. Cats are having a moment in comics right now. Animals
are having a moment in comics in general.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the whole thing with cats, I told you about this show on Netflix, Don't F with Cats. And it's an interesting documentary. But yeah, I mean, pets in general, I think whenever you throw a pet into a comic, you're probably gonna get some kind of reaction, a response, something like that. I think that's why they're in there. I think that, you know, we love our pets. People, listen, man, people send Christmas cards and their pets are in it as if they're part of the family.
Yeah.
So that's just how big they are in our lives, especially here in the States.
Yeah, I mean, right now, where'd he go? Oh, he went to eat breakfast. I have a shit.
Did your dog just leave you?
he went to get breakfast. My wife, I didn't realize she snuck in behind me and took him. But he sleeps by my stomach. He won't leave my side, but he sleeps facing the door. His face is always facing the door. So that's his way of protecting me. So he wants to be able to see if there's an intruder. He wants to be able to attack. I get up, he gets up. I move, he moves. No matter where I go, he's there by my side, you know, and he gets anxiety if he's separated from me. That's the kind of loyalty and love that it's easy to add them as a hero to a comic book. It's easy to tell a story and translate that. And that's why, you know, people are always creating new stories and they'll always be part of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny with animals. Of also Herman the Chihuahua, can we play him?
Oh, Herman Chihuahua is having a big role. Well, he's gonna have that one shot coming to America, but he's gonna be in the Duty series as well. So more to come on that.
Yeah, I think I love anthropomorphic characters and comics like that. And I think that sometimes you create your villains and your heroes based on the animals and what we think of as the animals, right? Like when you think of a snake, you think of like just like somebody who's sneaky. When you think of a rat, you think of just evil. So a lot of that stuff happens also that way when you're doing these anthropomorphic characters. For the most part, dogs are usually seen as, you know, like you said, as heroes. So they're usually the hero in the story. Another movie that comes to
there's
mind.
Too many, is, there's too many letters.
Yeah. Another hero that comes to mind is, or another movie that comes to mind is All Dogs Go to Heaven. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that movie? That was a great, great movie too. For those who haven't seen it, it's an awesome movie. But again, this is but see, and now that story is about a dog who's almost like a street dog. Like he just kind of just chills in the street, and befriends this little girl,
Benji.
Benji, yeah, Benji. I mean,
remember that?
John said it. Lassie also. Like all these animals and all these heroes. Yeah. It's interesting, man. It's fun to think of what you can do with all these animals. And if you're an animal lover, you're automatically going to fall for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, remember that movie Martian Cat from Outer Space?
No, I don't.
That was back in the 80s. Mm. That was a cool flick.
Nice.
Yeah, I think animals will always be. I mean, I have Herman the Chihuahua, and there's also another animal that's going to be introduced in this series. By the 8th issue. Herman's going to tell his story on how he came to America. I love the character Herman. You know, when you get to, I think it's issue 3 is when you introduce to Herman. Yeah. You're going to fall in love with him. He steals the show. He's, you know, he's that support. He's not just a supporting cast. He's like a co-star. You know, because it's easy to try to tell the story from the animal's perspective. I think when you do that, it's even more endearing because everyone knows how the behaviors that animal. So when it's recognizable, when you can recognize some of those things, you're like, oh, my dog does that. Oh, man, I remember that. You know, and those are the things because we're humans, you know, humans look for relatability. That's what's attractive to why we attracted to. If you grew up in violence, you're going to be attracted to violent movies. You know, if you grew up with cartoons, you're going to love cartoons. I mean, look, Michael Grassi is a big cartoon lover, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what he grew up with.
Yeah.
So I have no, I say go for it.
Absolutely.
Keep adding animals to your comic books and to your movies because, you know, we love it.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Yeah, exactly. And we, like you said, we add that to what we're doing. I mean, I think in my Russ book, one of my main characters, she hasn't even made an appearance yet, but she will later on in stories, but she has a German Shepherd. That's her guardian. Like that's her guardian dog. It's, you're right. I think that that's something that if you want to inject into your story, you should. I just think that if you do inject it into your story though, don't do it as a gimmick.
Right. It's got to be.
Don't do it just because that's selling right now. Do it because A, you're an animal lover. B, it makes sense to your story. That kind of thing. I mean, you know, who are we to tell you what to write? But I'm just saying, like, it just comes off.
Unfortunately, there are creators out there that they look to see what's trending and say, I'm going to create this because that's going to make me money. I'm going to do this because that's going to make me money. So there's going to be that type of creator. Just like there are the creators out there that are looking for open domain characters that they can capitalize off of and make a quick buck from. You're going to have the opportunists, but then you're also going to have the creatives, right? So that's what the world's made of, you know?
I just appreciate more the ones that are doing it because they actually love what they're doing rather than just trying to make a buck out of it. You know what I mean? I think it'll come out. Like, I don't think you can fake
it. It's not sustainable. It's not long.
Yeah, you can't fake it.
That's a short-term game. That's not a long-term game.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, no, man, this has been fun. This has been fun. Another, you know, fun episode for us. I hope it was fun for you guys. Yeah. I had a good time just discussing some of the stuff we were discussing. I know it's a little early for some of the stuff we were discussing, but it's never too early to talk comics and all that other fun stuff. So thank you guys for joining us tonight. Tomorrow we're going to have, obviously we have our, the Catch the Craze show tomorrow. So please watch that if you subscribe to the channel already. If you don't subscribe yet,
it's a pre-recorded show with a guest we interviewed early on this week that airs tomorrow. So check that. That's a good interview. Steampunk. He's an author, wrote a novel. Also, he's a creator of his first comic book. Plus, he has a coloring book coming out. He is from the Netherlands. So it was a really good interview. I think it was like 1 a.m. for him for the interview. But it's a really cool interview. If you're into steampunk and fantasy, you're going to love this one. So check that interview out tomorrow. What's in the Box is coming back. Hopefully you join us next week. We have a packed lineup next week again. But don't forget, again, the link is in the chat, the summary. Sign up for Wonder Duck if you haven't done so already.
Yes.
Let's get to 100 backers. And for anybody out there, there's nearly on my toilet. I'm just waiting for the books to arrive. And once they arrive, I will be packaging them. And so the next update on Kickstarter will be when they arrived. So that way you know that I'm processing everything and getting ready to ship. And that'll be a 48-hour endeavor for me. And then after that, we're good to go.
Yeah. And big shout out to our sponsor for today, Miss Daphne Lage, who has a Kickstarter right now, Eagle Raven. So make sure you go there and pledge to that campaign. It's going live right now. I think she's got maybe 26 days left, but she's killing it.
That's a great point. So Daphne's been successful, really successful in her campaigns. And she's also sponsored Cast of Craze to promote her campaign. Getting her incremental backers and creating the awareness. So for you indie creators out there, this is a great way for you to do the same thing. So if you go to our summary, you hit that link and go to our sponsor page, you can send us a 30-second video promo just like Daphne did. And we also have another sponsor that's coming up that we'll be talking about soon to promote your stuff in advance of your campaign and during your campaign. So now you have another means of communication that's getting out to an audience that you potentially can't get to. So here's a way It's money well spent. It's very affordable right now. It'll change down the road, but right now it's very affordable for you. So take advantage of this and get your stuff out there. You know, for a couple of cups of coffee, you can sponsor an episode, or you can get a monthly package, like Daphne did. Get a monthly package and was cross episodes. So her sponsorship goes on multiple shows. Like it was on the Catch the Craze, it's on the Morning Brew. So here's an opportunity for you to do the same thing. So put your brand first, get out there, promote it, sponsor an episode of Catch the Craze. Everybody wins. And then, you know, we are your voice in your absence. So if you like this episode, give us a thumbs up. Please share, subscribe, like. Thank you all for joining us this morning. I am your host with the most, Samuel Vera.
Wow, Samuel Vera.
See the crazy man, Vera. Oh,
wow. Yes, this is George the Dreamer Medina.
And this was the Morning Brew with the Crazy Crew, and we are out.